Part 2. He must deny himself. Chapter 5. Self-denial or denial of self. Jesus never said, "If anyone would come after me, he must practice self-denial." In fact, such a message would be a contradiction to what he did say. What is the difference between self-denial and denial of self? What does it really mean to deny self? I'm glad you asked. The difference is life-changing. As an open water swimmer in Senegal and a swim coach for years in the Middle East, I quickly learned that self-denial is the norm for the sport. The obnoxious alarm sounding at 3:45 a.m. for morning practice was the day's first reminder of the lifestyle I had chosen. There were also the alterations to my diet. Certain foods were out of the question. Goodbye soda, ice cream, chips, and fried foods. And then there were the social repercussions of my life as a committed swimmer. Fatigue, limited evening outings with friends, an early bedtime, and so on. Herein lies a vital lesson not to be missed. My mindset was not, "Is it worth it?" Instead, my question was, "How can I swim faster?" I didn't have the sense that I was being punished, but rather that I was pursuing a different objective than those around me. A new goal drove my actions. Swimmers try to earn a position, a victory, a medal. Both as a swimmer and as a coach, one of my first priorities of entering a new season was goal setting and establishing the path to achieve the desired end. I didn't ask my swimmers how much they were willing to give. Rather, I asked them what they were aiming to achieve. Anything that infringed on the outlined pursuit was viewed as a hindrance. But beware, that is self-denial, the practice of denying oneself things that hinder the pursuit of a greater purpose. You understand that. We practice self-denial in dieting, budgeting, athletic endeavors, etc. But self-denial is not where our Lord starts in the path he has established for us. Instead, he calls us to deny self. Denying self does not begin with an analysis of things that need to change in your life. I'm not saying that it is a bad idea to eliminate harmful things from your life, but denying self demands a different starting point. The cure for a stubborn, stagnant church is not to try harder, but to recognize the beauty of Christ's finished work. We read the story of David and Goliath and teach our kids to admire David who slew the giant with a sling and stone. But may I suggest that we aren't much like David in that story? We are the cowering soldiers on the back line of Israel's army who are fearful to go into battle when our David steps forward, not with a sling, but with a cross. With one astonishing act of triumph, he forever annihilated the power of sin and death, Satan and hell. Jesus isn't calling for more determination. He is asking us to trust his victory on our behalf. He is calling for death to self and extending to us the opportunity to live in the strength of his victories instead of relying on our own. When basketball ruled my heart. In my teenage years, I aspired to pursue a career in professional basketball. My days, energy, and thoughts were consumed with the game. Incrementally, basketball became my idol, my God. Sure, Christ provided me with fire insurance from hell, but I wasn't following him. Instead, I was asking him to follow me, until the day he came walking by my shore of the Sea of Galilee. When I was 15, my parents moved to the United States, which enabled me to complete my final 2 years of high school there, giving me exposure to scouts and the opportunity to acclimate to the pace of the game on the other side of the ocean. Everything was going great. Having moved from St. Louis, Senegal to Travelers Rest, South Carolina, I found myself in the heart of ACC basketball country. I quickly found a team on which to play and began training for my junior season. Having earned my starting spot on the varsity squad and having a former NBA trainer to work with me, I was sure that everything was ticking toward the goal. My goal. Then it happened. God spoke to me. We took a brief trip to California to visit my grandmother and relatives. While there, I was reading through Hebrews when my eyes landed on a familiar passage. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Hebrews 12, 1-2a. I had read this portion a myriad of times, but that day it was as though those four words were emblazoned in bold. Lay aside every weight. The words cut to my heart. Basketball wasn't a sin, but in my life it was a weight which was dragging me toward a selfish existence consumed by self-satisfying and self-exalting feats and dreams. Sure, I had incorporated God into my plans. After all, I was willing to play professional ball in foreign countries, as if there was a medal of honor in heaven for such an accommodation. But I had not plugged my life into His plans. I had prayed for His blessing on my life, rather than embracing His call of eternal value and blessing. Conviction pierced my heart. With tear-streaked face, I approached my parents and announced my unforeseen, immediate retirement from the game. Have I mentioned that there isn't much of a middle gear in my life? I'm all in or all out. As we discussed what had transpired and how the Word of God had spoken, my parents encouraged me to pray before calling the coach and making it official. I remember telling them that while we could pray, it wouldn't do much good, since God had already made things clear. Basketball was out. Do not miss the point. Basketball wasn't the sin. God uses many individuals within the realm of athletics. The Lord looks at our hearts. Here are some filter questions to help us identify idols that may have crept into our life. What sits enthroned on my heart? What dictates the decisions I make? Who or what determines my level of passion for the gospel? Does a geographical location dictate my involvement in God's work? Do my career pursuits determine my mission in life? Or does God's mission determine my career pursuits? Does anything cause me to disobey God at any point or in any way? Is there anything that gives me greater joy than my relationship with Jesus Christ? Is there anything about the future that excites me more than the Lord and His plans? What do I daydream about most often? What do I enjoy talking about most? What do I fear losing the most? On what do I most love spending my money? Where do I most enjoy spending my time? What causes me to complain when things don't work out as I wished? What do I adamantly try to protect and defend? Let's make this straightforward and simple. Self-denial is removing certain things from your life, usually temporarily, to focus on more important things. Denial of self is stepping off the throne of your life to let Christ reign over your dreams, passions, and pursuits. When waste turns into worship. Regardless of how noble or ambitious your dreams may be, or how entrenched you are in the pursuit of success, if you are unwilling to lay aside your nets when Christ comes calling, you are boldly declaring that you and your plans are Lord of your life, not Him. But the good news is this. If you're still breathing, the end of your story is not yet written. I vividly remember preaching in North Augusta, South Carolina in the fall of 2004. After the meeting, an elderly man stumbled up the aisle sobbing, "I've wasted my life! I've wasted my life! I've wasted my life!" Those tears shed on my 20-year-old shoulder were powerfully sown. However, I realized later that what he said wasn't completely accurate. A life is not wasted until it is finished. Jesus Christ doesn't merely forgive our past. He redeems it for his glory if we let him have our brokenness. He wants to take whatever we have wasted and turn it into a life of worship for his grace and mercy. When I think of God redeeming the years spent on ourselves, I think of an older man in the Middle Eastern nation where I lived for several years. He frequently rode down my street on a creaky old bicycle with a cart attached to the front. As he rode, he would yell, "Bekya," which simply means broken things. If anyone had something broken or perceived useless, he would buy the item for a small amount and repair or refurbish it, making it into an item of value. This is what Christ does with our lives. He isn't asking us to fix up our lives through self-denial. Rather, he asks us to turn over to him our brokenness through denial of self, so that he can make our lives into something beautiful. Many like the idea of Jesus and intellectually believe the truth of who he is. They may have even offered up a prayer asking Jesus into their heart. But Christ did not come to gather supporters. He came for his spouse, his bride. He came not for temporal recognition. He came to establish with us an exciting eternal relationship. In your life, has self resigned and relinquished control to the one who has loved you with an everlasting love?